Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I can't tell you how much I love AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We have dedicated individuals both behind the mic and behind the scenes running the show, running everything around this place, and it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, and by goodness, everybody seems to be doing their job spectacularly well. My very, shall we say, stupendous guest for this hour is Max Eigen. Is it Eigen or Egan?
It's Egan, Vinny.
Ah! Goodness gracious, everybody's got difficult to pronounce names today.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, Max Egan. Maxwell Egan.
All right, Egan. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, I've got a website called thecrowhouse.com. I do a radio show that goes out across America called Surviving the Matrix. It's a weekly show. And I've got a YouTube channel. Every week when I do the radio show, I always create a YouTube slideshow to go with it to illustrate the show. And I post that on YouTube. And yeah, just run the website. I tour around doing speaking. I try to get as active as I can in the community, addressing the many problems that we face, and just spend my time trying to wake people up, much the way you do, I'd say, Vinny.
Really? With a little bit of comedy and a little bit of sarcasm?
Yeah, I tend to put a little bit of comedy in there sometimes. It's a little bit black. I'm not sure everybody picks up on it, but to me it's humorous, so I try to keep it that way. Try to keep it positive and empowering. I mean, I think we face an awful lot of problems, but I sort of see it as an awful lot of opportunities. I think that,
absolutely.
Yeah, we're being presented with an enormous opportunity for the human race to wake up to itself and to change the direction that we're going in.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like there's an elite group of cabalistic Satan worshipping scum that are trying to exterminate everybody and enslave the rest. What an opportunity!
Well, it is. I mean, the thing is, though, understanding how the system works, I mean, it's so complex. I mean, the actual conspiracy, the matrix that we call reality, it's so complex. It really is. And as I think it was J. Edgar Hoover said when he was investigating the Kennedy assassination, he said, the individual is handicapped by coming face-to-face with a conspiracy so monstrous that he can't believe it exists. And that's what we're faced with. It's absolutely all pervasive. It's like I said in the Matrix. It's everywhere. It's there when you turn on your television. It's everywhere. It's this incredible reality that is not real that's been pulled over everybody's eyes.
Yeah, this is what people don't understand. And for some people, you know how they get like all ethereal about it, like, oh, well, if you just send positive vibes, it'll all work out. Positive vibes ain't gonna stop a New World Order trooper's rifle from discharging in your face after they kick your door down because you've been very naughty by talking about subversive things on the internet. Not gonna stop it. However, if you take action, real action, and you don't just put your mind to it, you really put your heart into it, you can have an untold amount of effect. And the effect doesn't have to be huge. If you even just reach across to even a few people, make them feel better or more motivated to do something, you're doing a good job. And I think that's what I feel is absolutely necessary in this day and age. Everybody in the conspiracy theory movement sort of gets discriminated against online sometimes by trolls and kind of feel alone a bit. But as soon as you become active, you realize just how many people are actually out there doing this, talking about it all the time, spreading stuff on Facebook and Twitter and goodness knows where else. And it's impossible to feel alone or discouraged.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, they treat it like an adventure story, unfortunately. They're waiting for the next installment. It's like this spy novel that they're reading, you know. Suddenly they wake up to the fact that there's this huge conspiracy running the world and that nothing's the way they thought it was. And they kind of get lost on this little sci-fi journey or something, you know. And then you've got people, like you say, that just want to sit there and project good vibes into the field. Well, it's all very well to be in the right energy, and you absolutely need to be in the right energy, but you need to apply it to reality around you. Most people that you find in these New Age movements that sit there in these states of permanent love, or so they say, really aren't. I mean, mostly they're in fear because they won't look at what's going on around them. And they've all got stuff with the people around them anyway. They've all got these issues with all the people around them, so they're not really in the correct energetic state at all. You know, if they put themselves in the correct energetic state where they can remove fear from their lives, then they see the necessity in dealing with the situation that we face, and they can break down that fear that keeps them divided from their neighbours, and we can actually build a strong enough community to be able to want to stand up and say, hey, you guys, we're not going to do it your way anymore. And that's what really needs to happen. You've got to really look at the whole spectrum and try to understand what's actually going on here. But there's so many things for people to get their heads around. I mean, there's so many things that we're facing. We're like bombarded from all directions. Society is just kept under control by so many means. You know, with the television, with the what they've done to sex is incredible. Really, what the way they've told people that sex is bad and it's naughty, and then blasted people with as much sex as possible just to completely mess them up. Yeah, here's all this stuff, but don't touch. And it's one of the most basic urges that people have, because, I mean, on my show I often talk about the fact that we've been cut off from a lot of our higher senses. And even when you look through Eastern mysticism and all this sort of stuff and look at the chakras...
Does that include common senses?
Oh, absolutely, I'd say, absolutely. There's not much common sense. That's the thing about common sense. It's not very common. But
it's quite rare. I think, you know how you can sometimes think about backing currency with a rare substance or something like that? I wonder what a common sense backed currency would be, you know? Like, how would you mine and refine the common sense in order to back a currency with it? Never mind.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, well, anyway, what you find is that when you look at how the body works, the body has an electrical device, which is what it is. I mean, everything you feel is electromagnetic. Your body is actually an electrical being more than a biological being even. I mean, you're 85% water. There's not a lot of biology in there, but there's a lot of electricity. Everything functions because of electromagnetic impulse. And so all these chakras, all these centers in your body that should be active aren't active. And the only one that is active is the lower root chakra. So that's the sexual chakra. So this is what's being used to control society. They keep this one as the only one active. And then they tell you you can't touch, and to think about it, it's dirty. And breeding and copulation and creating, you know, the perpetuation of the species is one of the most basic instincts that we have. And if we had these higher chakras open, we wouldn't see sex as the most pleasurable thing we can do, because there's all these other things that are more pleasurable, because sex is actually one of the lowest base things you can do. It's one of the lowest pleasures there is. But all the other higher centers have been cut off. This has been done through fluoride. It's been done through locking off our pineal gland, the constant electromagnetic bombardment that we're given. I mean, you'll notice with tribal cultures, ancient tribal cultures, these people walk around half naked, and they're not stuck on sex. Sex is just something they do when they want to have a child, because they've got higher centers open in their body, and there are much, much more pleasurable things in reality than sex. But Western culture has been just led down this path. And then we're bombarded with all this other stuff. I mean, it's incredible what's been done to the human race. It really is.
Well, what you just said just kind of reminds me of what Chief Sitting Bull talked about. He said, before the white man came, we went fishing all day, and the women take care of the children and take care of the camp. When we come home, they cook dinner, and we make love all night. Only the white man is stupid enough to think he can improve on that.
Yeah, basically, yeah. That's basically it. I mean, we're kept in this incredibly mind-controlled state, and it's really important that people wake up to what's going on and come into their own power. I've been talking a lot about trust law and legal things and stuff lately, try to help people understand how that works as well, because, you know, we are the government, we are the law, we are what God created. God created man created society created government. So they're, you know, they're way down the food chain. They're public servants, and they've replaced natural law by what is legal. And we have to get back to natural law, trust law, the law of creation. You know, there's really only one law, and that's do no harm. That's the way we need to live our societies. And, you know, we need to step back and just look at what's going on.
Yeah, that's what people need to realize, is that we're too busy running around to realize that all we need to do is step back.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're busy going nowhere, you know. We're kept in this perpetual cycle of debt. We believe we've got all of these, yardsticks we've got to measure ourselves up to. We've got to, you know, be the way the television tells us. And we've got to spend our lives collecting paper because we have to pay to be alive. And this is this whole system that's been inflicted on us. I mean, the money system, it's designed to keep people in shortage. That's its whole thing. And it keeps people distracted from being themselves and experiencing themselves. And then you're given all this stuff, all this useless stuff that you don't need, and you're told this is what you need to create a better society. You need to be like this, or have all this stuff, or have the latest car, or the latest fashion, or be at this rung on the social ladder. And it's all rubbish. You know,
you just need to be able to feel comfortable without any of it.
Well, you've got to realize who and what you are. I mean, what you are is the infinite consciousness of creation experiencing Vinny. That's what you are. I'm the infinite consciousness of creation experiencing Max. We ultimately come from the same source, but we have a completely unique perspective of reality. And no one can do Vinny Eastwood like you can. That's who and what you are. That's what you're here to experience. So why would you ever see anybody as a threat to you? And why would you ever seek to invalidate the perspective of others? Because they all come from the same source, and their perspective of reality is always going to be completely different to yours, because they're a completely different, unique frequency of consciousness. And when we understand this, we all start to work together and understand how reality works. We can change things very, very easily.
Yeah, it's not that difficult. And as I always say, you know, if you want to change something, don't put your head to it, put your heart into it, because that's actually the strongest muscle in the body, and it's going to keep going, right? I feel quite confused a lot of the time, to be honest with you, Max, because you get these different reactions from people towards the same things that you're saying. Like, let's say I'm talking about the New World Order, I'm talking about chemtrails, or any number of the topics from the conspiracy field, which is, as far as I'm concerned, should be renamed the truth field, but never mind. I choose to call it conspiracy in order to give it a positive connotation so that it'll eventually override the propagandistic repetition of calling people conspiracy theorists as a demonization term. But other than that, I think that the different reactions you get, like the cognitive dissonance, for example, is a real frustrating one. People will either attack you, walk away, or just basically be in total denial from it. And instead of getting frustrated, I think people should approach it more like how I did, approaching people who say no in sales jobs. You hang up the phone and you call another person.
Well, yeah,
right?
If somebody's not
responding to you, you're wasting your time with them.
Well, yeah, you move on to the next person, but you've got to be calm as well. And there's also this stigma with the language. I mean, they like to change the meanings of things. I mean, if you just call something a conspiracy now, people think, oh, it's fiction. But the word conspiracy, I mean, two people planning to do something for an outcome that is mutually beneficial, that's a conspiracy. Conspiracies happen all the time. See, that people have been taught to, you don't even have to say the word theory after the word conspiracy anymore. You know, when you say conspiracy, they immediately think of conspiracy theory. And they put the word theory.
True. That's true.
Well, it is.
They're making all the language shorter, you know. I used to be able to say to somebody, hello, how are you doing today? And it's now been reduced to sup.
Yeah, well, that too. But the word, I mean, they put the word theory after the word conspiracy to convince people that all conspiracies are theories. And now they've dropped the word theory so that the word conspiracy means conspiracy theory. You see what I mean? So they're changing the meaning of the word. I mean, conspiracies happen every day. If you go to the local police department, they've got a conspiracy division, a conspiracy between two criminals. I mean, people get charged with conspiracy all the time. So, but people in the public domain have been taught that the word conspiracy means conspiracy theory. And it's about something that isn't true. It's just an idea that someone had, and it's wacko, and it's way out in the left field, and it's these fringe dwellers. You know, that's what the word conspiracy is now thought to mean. So it's absolutely amazing the way they've done this, but they just manipulate people's minds all the time. But, I mean, we are facing an incredibly, incredibly complex conspiracy, and it's right there in front of people's eyes. It's right there if they just choose to see it. But it, like I said, it comes from so many different areas, and we are bombarded, I mean, centrally bombarded in, from all directions with an unreal reality. And so when you attempt to bring this information to people, you're literally challenging everything they thought to be real about reality. And for a lot of people, it's very, very confronting. You know, you're telling me that what I perceive to be real is not true. And I've spent my whole life believing this was real. I've spent my whole life working within this machine to gather this stuff that I've got around me. And I'm hanging on to this stuff desperately because this is my reality. I've managed to get all these useless things. I'm not happy, but I've got all this stuff. And now you're telling me that all of this has been a complete waste of time and that the reality I lived is not real. That's very confronting to people. And when they wake up to the fact that that's actually true, most of them go totally into denial. They go into complete anger. They have meltdowns. They just, I mean, it's like Neo when he comes out of the machine. He goes, put me back in the machine. And you know, this is very, very confronting for a lot of people. And it's been very, very carefully woven. And so you've got to be careful and you've got to take baby steps with people. Unfortunately, we're heading to a situation now where there's so many of these plans coming to completion now that we're kind of running out of time. We've got to sort of up the ante a little bit. We can't be too gentle with people now because they have to wake up to what's going on around them because the plan is almost complete.
I had an idea. You know that bit in The Matrix where they shove the spike into the back of his skull kind of thing and it goes into the little receiver and then they upload like a pilot training program or upload kung fu? How about we just upload all of the available knowledge against the New World Order and just like program people into being conspiracy theorists? and I'm in conspiracy theorist in a good way, okay? Because there's two of them, okay? There's coincidence theorists who believe that absolutely everything in the entire world, bar none, is the result of direct and utter freaking coincidence, okay? Life on Earth is complete coincidence. Evolution or evolutionary theory is complete coincidence. The way oil burns in a car's engine is complete coincidence. The way buildings get constructed is pure coincidence, okay? It just all somehow came together. Whereas a conspiracy theorist is somebody who thinks, they just think this, you know, that there are powerful people in this world who actually use their power.
What
a nutcase!
Yeah, what a nutcase to think that there are powerful people in the world who may just have a plan.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk about the plan after we get back from the break. My very special guest is Max Egan. And we'll be right back after this special break. Unity, please don't desert me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from Chateau de Rothschild on Waiheke Island off the coast of Auckland, New Zealand.
It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And if we truly told you what was really going on, you certainly would. Unless, of course, we told it with a smile on our face, and turned it into a joke of some description, so that you wouldn't take it quite as seriously as perhaps you should. My very remarkable guest today is Max Egan. Max, welcome back.
Thank you, Vinny. Nice to be here.
We talk about the problems all the time, and everybody says, oh, well, we've got to have that dichotomy, and talk about solutions. I feel that a lot of the solutions are really just to do with perspective as well as proper action being taken. You know, like, first of all, you've got to understand the problem, and then through your perspective, be able to actually deal with it. That's why I use comedy all the time, because, hey, it helps you to stay sane. And then, of course, there's action. Are you trying to get information out to people who perhaps haven't been exposed to it before? Or are you like me and you're just kind of like, I don't know. I feel to a large part preaching to the choir, to be truthful with you, Max.
Well, a lot of the time it is like that, but I mean, I'm involved in a lot of community action around here as well. There's an anti-fracking group, and I'm attempting to teach them about what's actually going on. And I'm getting to do a lot of public speaking in a lot of places that I go, so I'm reaching a lot of people that I wouldn't normally be speaking to, and not just the listeners of my show. I've also found that a lot of people are spreading the radio shows that I do as well, so that's really good. I found that if you can approach things from a very, very logical and very calm perspective, you can just say, well, look, I believe that one and one is two. Can you show me if I'm incorrect? You know, and people, you know, when you can say things in a logical enough way, they go, well, hang on a minute, he's right. You know, what he said makes perfect sense. And you keep it very calm, very matter-of-fact, and people tend to listen that way. And absolutely, you've got to keep a bit of humor in there. I mean, I think it's incredibly humorous that people can't see it, because it's right under their nose. This whole conspiracy is right under their nose. If you step back and look at the world on a global stage, and you look at history for the past, like, even up to 2,000 years, you see how all this has played out. And what's happened in the last 400 or 500 years has been, absolutely predictable right down the line, and everything that's happening now is absolutely predictable. But as you say, the actual plan, if you can really step back and see what's going on here, it's absolutely insidious what these people have in mind. And I think that the biggest solution that we have, the most important thing we can do, is to connect with the people around us and understand that we are all literally each other. You know, stop having division with people. Stop judging people by their social status or by whatever job they do or what they look like or what they wear or what their skin color is, and realize that we are all in this together. And as soon as we can unite as a global family, we can get rid of this global government that they're attempting to put in place to control everything we do. And they're very close to doing it. With the electrical things that they're putting around the planet at the moment, all the smart meters and all this sort of stuff, these will monitor society right down to a T. They want to microchip everybody. I mean, we're heading into a really, really bad place, and it's all because of fear-based mind control. Our whole societies are based on fear-based mind control. Fear of, not enough paper to survive. Fear of not living up to whatever social standard the television has set for you. Fear of not being accepted by your peers. Fear of not getting wherever you have to be on the corporate ladder. I mean, fear of everything. Fear of war, fear of terrorism, fear of economic collapse, fear of everything. And it's so contrived, and we need to wake up to it and start connecting with each other.
Well, we're entering into an era now that I call the everything crisis era, because everything's a crisis. We're talking about the oil crisis, the food crisis, the money crisis, the climate change crisis, the consciousness crisis, the this, that, and the other crisis, the terrorism crisis, the election of John Key as the prime sinister crisis, the trying to get Julia Gillard out of the freaking seats of Australian Parliament because she's the Wicked Witch of Oz crisis. You know, I have little concern for people who want to just run around freaking out and what have you. I mean, sure, engage in all of these really scary, freaky things and what have you, but don't do it with the point of just, oh, I want to be freaked out. How about I want to learn something about what's actually going on so that I understand it so I'm less freaked out by it? But the problem is, when you research into things like eugenics and the Illuminati, Planned Parenthood and Rockefellers and Rothschilds and all of these various eclectic types of conspiring minds and plans that are being interwoven like a magnum opus spider egg sack, it does, in fact, freak you out the more you understand it.
Well, it is. I mean, it's very, very complex, the system that's in place. But what people need to understand is that all of the things that they look at, all of these different issues that they're speaking out against and freaking out about, are all symptoms of the one problem. The one problem is the system itself. The system itself is in place because of our fear of connecting with people around us, our belief that we're different and separate from everybody else. So that's how we deal with it. And we need to deal with it. I mean, Julia Gillard, I'm glad you mentioned her. She absolutely, I mean, I tore her a new one on Sydney Breakfast Radio the other day. I mean, the woman has basically sold this country out to overseas mining interests. And like you said, I mean, they don't do anything by coincidence. Nothing is a coincidence. And it is no coincidence that Australia is called Australia, because what Australia basically means is the corporation of, for the Southern Adjunctment for Gold. I mean, they want to turn this place into a mine, and they're turning it into a gas field and an open cut mine, basically. They've sold the whole country out. So, fracking, you know, fracking, I mean, they'll probably be doing it in New Zealand soon. They're fracking everywhere. They're just...
Oh, they're already fracking all up the frack, you know?
Well, they're destroying the water table. They're destroying the water table on the planet. This is all part of Agenda 21. See, all these people are sitting out there in their alternate communities saying, I'm going to build this community. I'm here with my guns and no one's going to come, and we're going to have our last stand here. And all these hippies out there building their alternate communities. We're going to become self-sufficient. We're going to do this. Well, what are you going to do when your water table is polluted and your air's full of chemtrails and your soil's full of aluminium and nothing will grow but Monsanto food? You're going to have to move into the city with everybody else. Because
yeah, I mean, that's the plan.
Yeah, well, see, they ignore what's going on around them and think that they can be safe by going and building these little, alternate communities rather than fixing the community that they have now by simply connecting with their neighbors.
I look at it like this. It's called a new world order for a reason, because there's no freaking way to escape from it. Any way that you could ever conceivably think of escaping it, they've already thought of it and already figured out how to make sure that that just can't happen. And even if you can happen, you'll be so totally ineffective at resisting them from whatever point you're at, you'll be screwed anyway. The only chance we have is to beat them before they put their entire control grid into place and to wake people up. And it only is capable of proceeding with the general ignorance of the public. And I blame a large part of this on the media, because the only way any description of voting system or democracy or what have you, even though I don't even really believe in it, the only way for that to conceivably work is if the entire population is very well informed as to what the heck is going on. And quite frankly, nowadays, they are never informed. I mean, they get given facts, you know, whatever the facts might be. They might be pretty insignificant facts nonetheless, but they don't provide the context, and they certainly don't join the dots for the audience so that they have some description of proper understanding about the thing. Like, during election processing, for example, how many times do you hear the word jobs? Oh, we've got to create jobs here. We've got to make some jobs there. And you're just like, what jobs? Are we talking about hand jobs here? Get off your ass and freaking work for a living, you politician scum. Instead of working for some description of foreign bank eating out the economy like termites in a freaking dinner table, so everybody's food winds up getting smashed on the floor after their weight and everything breaks it down the middle.
Yeah, well, you know, why are jobs such an issue anyway? I mean, because we have to pay to be alive. I mean, we should, if there was no interest on money, if the money system was dealt with, we could have a family, you could have one member of a family working 4 to 8 hours a week to supply everything that that family needs, and they could be free to enjoy their life. The only reason why jobs are such an issue is because of the inflation of the currency, due to the ridiculous monetary system we have in place, whereby you have to have two people working in the family just to almost make ends meet. And so jobs seem to be important because everybody has to pay to be alive because of this money system, which is designed to keep people in a state of shortage. I mean, people don't look at this. They think jobs are a good thing, but they don't ever ask themselves why they have to pay to be alive. So, oh, everybody has to pay to be alive. It's just the way it is. And that's like saying, well, it's okay if you beat me over the head with a cricket bat as long as everybody else is getting beaten over the head with a cricket bat. You know, this is the mentality that we've got that's been instilled into our society.
Yep, and you know why everybody wants to have their head hit with a cricket bat? It's because they don't have any balls left. And I was thinking about this type of a form of psychological castration, where the almost a sense of any form of self-respecting person has more or less been eradicated from the surface of the earth, and now it's just people who are more than willing to bend over, to do what they're told, and to move entirely, unquestioningly throughout their entire careers, work for the same organization or company for upwards of 20, 30, 40 years or so, with very little chance of promotion, and are quite happy with that fact because they feel that they've got job security. So the only thing that's really being secured there, mate, is the fact that you will never develop as a human being.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they miss out on who and what they are. I mean, we go through life and we're taught that what life is about is the one with the most wins. And as long as you've got a steady enough income to maintain what stuff you've got, you'll be okay. You know, you even be able to buy a little bit of new stuff now and then. You might be able to buy a new car once every couple of years. And this is what your life is. But you miss out on who and what you are. And you miss out on connecting with the people around you because we've got these societies that are designed to breed sociopaths. And so, you know, we believe that it's all about the one with the most wins. And I've got a little bit more stuff than you. My lawn is better than yours. And so I'm a better person than you. This is what we've been trained to do. We measure ourselves on the social ladder or, you know, with how much stuff we've got or how shiny our car is. But we don't ever really, connect with ourselves and we don't ever connect with the people around us. And we've been taught that, you're better than other people if you've got more stuff. So as more people get discarded in the social food chain, if you like, you know, the poor people get discarded. And eventually it moves right up the food chain until everybody gets discarded. But the people that are higher on the social ladder will never reach down and help those being discarded below them because they think it can never happen to them. They think that they're safe and they almost look at the poor people with disdain because they are, well, you should have the stuff that I've got. You should have worked hard to get more stuff and you wouldn't be being discarded. But eventually the way the system works is it just moves all the way up the food chain. And because people are kept in this state of division, no one ever notices, no one ever helps the people below them. And eventually they get discarded too in order to support the system. And mankind has created a system which is apparently there to service the needs of mankind. But according to the system, the most expendable thing within the system is mankind itself. It's all about supporting the system, making the system more efficient. And it seems that the purpose of this system is to strip every resource we can possibly strip from the planet in order to support this economic model, this economic system. And the politicians and the mathematicians and all the financial advisors and all these people, all the bankers, they think this money system's real. They think it's all about stuff, and it's all about the accumulation of wealth. And these people will keep going and keep stealing resources and dragging everything they can out of this planet until we reduce Earth to the state of Mars. And these people are so disconnected from reality that at that point they'll still be trying to balance their books and they'll be thinking, okay, we need to find another planet somewhere in the universe with people on it so we can exploit them because we need to pay off our bill to the bank. This is the way they think. It's completely ludicrous.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane, and I just don't have time for it, quite frankly. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who, like, actually fully believes the system, like, totally, totally, and they know so much about it, and they're willing to sit here and rant at you for, like, hours, if you let them, about how you're wrong and how this system is the best system we've ever got, and they just basically are ignoring 99.999% of the information in this world that is available in order to substantiate a very minuscule, myopic view that hasn't had any relevance for the best part of 1,000 years.
Oh, absolutely. I've met people like that, and they absolutely believe that you know, in the economic system, and they believe in permanent growth. And I've had some of these people, though, that I've had conversations with, and they've ended up in a state of meltdown, and they've left because I've given them answers that they simply can't deal with. I mean, like, we live on a... How can you have permanent growth when you live on a planet with finite resources and you have a monetary system that's based on interest-bearing debt? And they can't answer that question. You know, because eventually what happens is the planet turns into Mars. That's what happens. So... You've really got to look at it, and you can't blame these people either. I mean, a lot of the politicians that are doing what they do, you can't blame them or hate them for what they're doing because they've been trained to be this way by the system itself.
Yeah, like a dog, really. And I'm sure we will wind up like Mars eventually because with the growth of communism that's going on around the world, we'll be a red planet indeed. My very special guest is Max Egan, coming at us live from Australia. The home of exploitation mining under the fabulous Prime Minister Julia Gillard. And we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
They distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Oh, your dessert, you prick. Give me that dessert. I have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. You want to know what it's like? You can experience going to New Zealand. It's very simple. Sit in a chair for 19 hours and take your hands and press your head as hard as you can. And don't stop. Don't stop! 19 hours, just like this. And then at the end of 19 hours, you pull your hands off and you feel like you're in New Zealand. You certainly won't feel like you're home. They say that New Zealand's beautiful, and I don't know, because by the time I got over the jet lag, I had to go. And it seems to me, if you're going to travel for 19 hours to another country, when you get there, they should have the common courtesy to speak another language. I did not fly all this way to hear English again.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, in the sunny slave South Pacific, the island-chained nation. And my very special guest is Max Egan, and we were talking about how, basically, the Earth is just pretty much getting strip-mined at this point. You know, anybody can agree on that one. And we're going to wind up looking like freaking Mordor. It just goes to show you that when the government talks about efficiency, I can assure you the only thing that government is efficient at is waste.
Well, that's pretty true, Vinny. It's very, very efficient at turning everything good into everything bad. That's about the only function government seems to perform at this stage. I've been trying to get people to understand that these people are actually public trustees. And that we need to perhaps hold them accountable for what's going on. They love to blame us for everything, I noticed. You know, global warming, climate change, all this terrible stuff that's happening on the planet. And by the way, global warming and climate change is complete rubbish. But, you know, all the destruction that we're seeing on the planet, it's, oh, look, it's you guys. It's you guys that are doing all this. And we go, well, hang on. Aren't you guys in control? Isn't the government in control of what's going on here? How's it my fault? All I did was consume the stuff you gave me to consume because you told me it was safe for me to do so. Now you're telling me that I'm a very, very evil person because I assumed everything you gave me. So basically, I'm a terrible person because I believed you in the first place. That's basically what's going on. So they're very, very good at shifting the blame. And all they really do is steal from us. I mean, these are public trustees, public servants that we elect and put in place to ensure that we have a viable future. And they're very, very much in breach of trust. So I think that might be a little bit of a sign for people if they were to just sort of look at what's going on around them.
Well, I feel that it's like a computer, for example. If your computer is like seriously, seriously buggered, you either need to press the reset button or do a complete reinstall. You know, that's what's going on here, I feel, is we just need to pause what's going on. It's just like, everybody just stop. Stop. Okay, stop. You don't know what the hell is going on here, so stop doing it until you figured it out.
Well, yeah, right? we need to stop doing it. We need to stop going along with what our governments tell us we have to do. And with what's going on here in this country with the mining and the fracking and all this that's going on, and they say, oh, look, it's illegal. You've got no legal defense against what these people are doing. Well, yes, you do. What you have to do is realize that what legal means is legislation, and all this is a bunch of rules that have been written on a piece of paper by one of your public servants. It's not law. It's just legislation. And if the legislation, you know, if these guys have written out a law that gives them the ability to come onto your land and rape your land and rape this planet, and we're going to let them do it because someone wrote this rule on a piece of paper. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So people need to wake up to what's going on here and realize that these are public employees and that we don't have to let them destroy the planet because they wrote a rule that gives them the ability to do so. That's not what we employ them to do. That's like me writing a rule to say that I can come and you know, eat out of your fridge and I can come and watch TV in your house and bring all my friends, and if you don't like it, then I can put you in a cage because you disagree with me. That's basically what the government's doing. We need to wake up to this.
Yeah, yeah. The arbitrary nature of the legal system has been something that's been grating on me for quite some time, frankly, because, people think that it's reasonable. People think that if it's the law, it's a good idea to follow it. And I'm kind of two minds about it. Like, on the one hand, I don't break any laws while I'm out in public and things of that nature because, well, basically I don't want to get nicked and have to answer for all of this stuff and argue my way out of it. Or basically, I just don't like having contact with police officers when they're trying to freaking frame me or arrest me or do anything like that. I think that's perfectly reasonable. But on the other hand, I criticize the heck out of all of these laws and encourage other people to find out more about them and to take some collective action so that none of us have to follow them. Well, but I'm wondering at what point I'm actually going to have to cross that Rubicon and just say, you know what, bugger it. I'm going to have to start, breaking certain, arbitrary laws that don't make any sense in order to make a statement about it.
Well, the thing is to understand the difference between what is lawful and what is legal and what are actually laws and what aren't. I mean, anything that's been legislated into being, that's a statute, isn't law. It's a statute. It's a statute regulation. In a law, there's an injured party. If you break a law, there's an injured party. You've hurt somebody, you've stolen something, you've damaged somebody's property. There's an injured party. In the breach of a statute, there's no injured party. They just tell you, you can't build that house there. Well, hang on, I want to build the house there. Why can't? Why can't I? But what? Because you wrote some rules on a piece of paper somewhere. But you're my employee. Now, I've got a birth certificate here which shows that this, you know, you're trying to affect this legal person on this birth certificate, but I'm the sole shareholder. I own all the equity in that name. What gives you administration rights over that name? You're a public employee. This is like me owning a factory and going to work and the guy on the turning machine has written all these new company policies while I'm home and tells me that if I don't do what he says, he's going to lock me in the tool cupboard. Who do you people think you are? I mean, these aren't laws. These are statutes. See, what they've done is they've replaced what is lawful by what is legal, which is a counterfeit law. It's not actually law at all. And what legislation is designed to do is to remove actual law from the planet and impose the will of individuals in its place. That's its sole purpose. That's all it does.
The real problem I have primarily is that even though they are wrong and they are not lawful, they can still use force against you. And they do. And they're corrupt. And there's nothing you can do about it to a large extent.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if a police officer comes and harasses you, you just go, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, go away, whatever, give me a charge sheet, it's all good, and then deal with the matter in court, deal with the matter administratively. Go into court and say, yeah, I'm here regarding that matter, who are you people? This court case has been called in my name, I own all the equity in this name, this is my court, who are you people? You know, show me proof of claim, show me that you have administration rights over this name, show me an actual law that I've broken. Because if a judge names a statute as a law, the judge has committed fraud on the bench. You can't name a statute as a law. It's not a law. It's a statute regulation. It's a legislation given the power of law through consent of the governed. And you've got these police officers out there using terrorism to enforce non-existent contracts against people. And it is terrorism. Because if you look up the Oxford English Dictionary definition of terrorism, it's described as violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, often for political reasons. And that's exactly what the police are doing. And that is not what we employ the police for. That's not what we employ the government for. That's not what we have a legal system in place for. I mean, is this not a court of law? Because if this is a court of law, why are you here attempting to enforce a statute against me, which is not a law? I mean, this is the way I approach these people all the time. I mean, but I don't argue with police officers because these people are not employed for their intelligence. They have tasers and they like to use them. You know, if you get arrested or harassed by a police officer, your goal should be to get out of their company as quickly and as painlessly as possible and deal with it administratively through the court system.
Yeah. I mean, that's a far smarter idea than the alternative, which is crispy spinal fluid.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, police officers, I mean, these guys need to wake up to themselves. They absolutely do. They're one of the biggest problems we face in society because all they're really doing these days is enforcing corporate corruption. You know, they're coming and arresting people that are protesting against fracking. So all they're doing is supporting the destruction of the water table on their planet because they've been told to do so. It's just corporate rubbish, the whole thing. We've got to get corporatism away from government because that's really what we're facing. It's not communism or socialism or anything. It's corporatism. The whole world's been turned into one big corporation, and the most expendable thing within the parameters of this corporation is mankind. And it's happening because we're letting it happen, because we've allowed all these sociopaths that we've elected as politicians to write all these rules on pieces of paper, and we believe they're real because they've got these men with guns to enforce them. And, you know, so
and they've come up with... and they've come up with all the alternative ideas to their own terrible ideas. So it's like communism, fascism, whateverism, ism everywhere, but no one stops to think. Get informed about what is actually going on, okay? Like fascism, for example, the most interesting thing I know about it is that it's it has a specific plan, an edge point, to have huge amounts of public-private partnerships in order to wither away the size of the state and in order to consolidate it into corporate hands so that that will wind up controlling the state itself. People don't know this when their local councils go, oh, we're going to build a rail link with a public-private partnership. We're going to provide your water with a public-private partnership, i.e. we're corporatist fascists. Give us your consent. And it's not cool. Not cool at all.
Well,
and thanks,
not.
Max, for dropping by today. And any final statements before you plug your website and end up the show today?
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that what we're living in is functional rotational dictatorships. We're living in very, very low security prisons, and you're absolutely right. Fascism is everywhere. My website is thecrowhouse.com, and thanks for having me on the show, Vinny.
Been an absolute pleasure, mate. And you can catch the archives, ladies and gentlemen, at AmericanFreedomRadio.com, TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com, and guerrillamedia.co.nz. And I'm acting under the assumption Max will also probably be downloading these later and putting them up on his YouTube channel, because he's just so efficient like that. Way more efficient than a government. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening in. And for all of those of you who are going to go see David Icke in New Zealand tomorrow, I'll see you there. Catch you again.